Hello and welcome into this Monday edition from the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you are well, that your weekend was a good one, and that you're looking forward to, as much as you can, a good Monday. And I say as much as you can because I can't ignore the news, and I know that most people are not happy right now for a whole new reason. And we'll talk a bit about that today. But first, congratulations to NASA and SpaceX. As a space age kid, I was thrilled to see the successful launch of the Demo 2 spaceflight Saturday morning. It was an amazing, amazing achievement. Kudos and congratulations to everyone involved in this monumental success story that America has put men in space again on our own without depending on a foreign country to do it. We were paying what? I think I heard it was 56 point something million. Is that right? Or was it 59 point something million dollars per astronaut to send them into space in Russian capsules? And now, thanks to private industry, we're doing it on our own once again. And that, my friend, is a colossal achievement. And the technology is so incredibly different. It is so far advanced. In just 9 years, just a shade over 9 years, what is happening is incredible. I don't know if you saw the photos, but side-by-side photos of what the control console looked like for Gemini and then Apollo, the space shuttle, and now the SpaceX capsule. It's incredible. It actually looks like something you would see in a sci-fi TV show or movie, with touch screens in front of the astronauts for their controls. It just is amazing what's happened in the last 9 years. And I might add, in private industry that made that happen. And that is an American success story. That, pushing the boundaries of space, pushing past the edge of the envelope, making things happen that everyone says can't happen. That is America. That is who we are. That is where we're going. That is the future. What is not the future was everything else on the news. And that's the sad part of today. I remember once years and years and years and years ago, I sat in a staff meeting at a radio station with the owner of 30-something radio stations and a staff of people. As he spoke to them and said, you know, we could be talking about this new salesperson over here and how great things are going for him. His potential future with this company and the growth of this radio station and your sister stations here. We could be talking about this person over here who has just celebrated serving this many years with this company. We could be talking about the recent closure of an amazing account by this young woman over here. We could be talking about any number of things, but today we're talking about bad things because some of you couldn't behave yourselves. And here we are today, all these years later, looking at a similar story on a national scale. I would rather be anywhere else today, including the finest hospital in America. I would rather be anywhere else than here today, talking about what we have to talk about today. But my country is under siege. My country is being attacked by radical leftists. Radicals intent on overthrowing our government. And I'm watching people sympathize with the useful idiots who are being used by Antifa and the radical left. Do not be deceived, my friend. What is being presented as people acting out because of racial injustice is nothing of the sort. Yes, some are truly aggrieved by what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis. But those who are driving and organizing the riots, no, I will not call them protests. They aren't protests. Don't allow the progressives to redefine what is really happening here. These are riots. Those driving and organizing the riots don't care in the least about George Floyd. They don't care about police brutality. They don't care about the plight of the black community. What they care about is what they promised to deliver when Donald Trump was elected. And that was to make America ungovernable. This is their goal. Make no mistake. This is their goal. I think it's oddly convenient that racial tensions have been spun up when Russian collusion failed, impeachment failed, COVID-19 is on the decline, the economy is beginning to turn around, Trump's approval numbers are on the rise again, and key House Democrats are refusing to show up for work in D.C., a city which last night was struck with violence. Conspiracy theory? No. Just an interesting set of facts. I think it's interesting and convenient. Media gaslighting is going on. They're attempting to place the blame for violence on far-right white supremacy groups. That's just one more example of blatant leftist manipulation of the facts to sway the uninformed and ignorant. The instigators of the violence may well be white people, but they aren't right-wingers. They're radical leftists. They're Antifa. Remember, Antifa stated their goals, that they were going to make this country ungovernable. Antifa was discovered recruiting people in Colorado. Antifa has been discovered to be behind what's happening. There's video circulating online. It's not in the news media. Of course not. But there is video circulating online. Video recorded during the riots over the last few days of people paying rioters and then directing where they should go to inflict damage. I just posted on social media, just a few moments ago, a story about, I'm pulling it up right now, hold on just a moment, because I just walked away from it because I'm doing this. Coming from Santa Monica, California, where a Fox News reporter was on hand when the LAPD arrested a man looting the New Balance store in Santa Monica. He tweets, breaking, we just witnessed a group of looters hit a store in West LA off Wilshire by 26th. The car got away, but one of the looters didn't get in fast enough. And LAPD chased him down and caught him. In an interview, he said it was just for the money and only a little bit to do with the death of George Floyd. The reporter said, I just talked to him. He told me he's simply out here for the money. For the money. Just a little bit about George Floyd. Please don't be deceived. What we're watching happen to our country right now is intentional. It is planned. It is organized. And it is designed to disrupt this nation and to make it ungovernable, and if at all possible, to disrupt an election occurring this year. Now, please don't mistake what I am saying here for anything other than an assessment of what I see in the facts. And don't think that I am not touched in some way by the death of George Floyd. I am. It shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened. It's a tragic thing. We're not being told an awful lot by the news media today because, as always, they are focused on one thing. They are focused on the sensational aspects of this. They're looking for the bricks flying through the air, smashing windows. They're looking for people fighting and bloodying people up. They're looking for the burning cars and burning buildings. They're looking for the backdrop that makes the most effective and most attractive story to catch the eyes and ears of their listeners and viewers. That's what the news media is looking for today. As I've told you again and again and again, it's not about the truth. It's about ratings numbers and revenue. It's about who can get to the story first and who can get the most sensational story. It's a game for these people. And it all relates to the bottom line. The better they play the game, the better the bottom line. Please do not assume that the news media is noble in their reporting. They are not. And we're seeing in story after story across the country that these people who are rioting hate the news media. And they are attacking the news media as well. If you study the history of every radical movement in the world before a socialist or communist takeover has occurred, you will see patterns develop. And we're watching those same patterns developing at the hands of Antifa today. And encouraged by the Hollywood leftists and the leftists in our government. As I said, I would rather be anywhere else, including the finest hospital in America, than here today talking about this. I have things happening that I would much rather attend to. When my wife left for work this morning, I told her, I don't want to have to do any of this today. I would much rather be going to pick up the lumber to build the piece of furniture that I have planned to build this week. I would much rather be going to pay this bill or that bill. I would much rather be doing these things. I would rather be washing the car, mowing the grass, trimming the yard. I would rather be doing any of these things that in a normal life would be just day-to-day drudgery. I would rather be doing that than talking about what's happening to our country right now. But this is what I do. I made a decision a couple of years ago to sit down every day at this microphone and do this, to talk about what's happening. If possible, to have fun with it, to laugh about life, which is why I mention absurdity at the beginning of every show. But some days, the absurdity is absurdity because it's horrific. It's horrific absurdity. And we're watching this happen. We're watching it play out right now, right here in the United States of America, which for years stood against radical leftism and identified it as the cancer it is, pointed at it and told people, look what's happening to these countries that embrace this ideology. The people are dying. The people are being destroyed. They have no hope because the government believes it's smarter than everyone and wants to run every aspect of their lives. So they have no incentive to be great. And that's what made the difference here. We have always had incentive for greatness. that incentive, that drive that pushed us over the next hill, that drove us through snowy, icy mountain passes to discover the West, to see what was around the next bend in the river, and drove us beyond the atmosphere of our planet into space. That drive is what makes America what it is. And it's only here because our founders and our leaders, up until recent history, knew that is what makes a people great.
One! All right!
This is the Daily Perspective Podcast.
Come on!
Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. Good to have you along today. It's not a happy day in the neighborhood, that's for sure.
Here we go! Yeah!
James Woods, who may be one of the very few reasons I stay on Twitter, because honestly, Twitter is a cesspool. It's not real life. It doesn't reflect real life. It's a weird little universe that is not the real world. Don't ever forget that. But sometimes it's entertaining, and James Woods is one of the reasons. And here's one of his posts. This much is certain after all this rioting. In 2 weeks, we're either going to have a bleep load of sick Democrats, or we're going to realize COVID-19 was not what Democrats said it was. Mayor Bill de Blasio's daughter was arrested. Yep. His daughter, Chiara. She was at a Manhattan protest. Saturday night, law enforcement sources tell the Washington Post, or the New York Post, that is, that Chiara de Blasio, she's 25, was taken into custody about 10:30 p.m. after cops declared an unlawful assembly at 12th Street and Broadway in Lower Manhattan. She had allegedly been blocking traffic on Broadway and was arrested after refusing to move. Refusing to move is kind of how you block traffic. The source said that it was a real hotspot. Police cars were getting burned there. People were throwing and yelling and fighting with cops. There were thousands of people in that area at the time. Chiara gave a residence on East End Avenue as her address, otherwise known as Gracie Mansion, the mayor's Upper East Side home. But she didn't tell cops she was the mayor's daughter. The arrest came about an hour before His Honor told protesters it was time to go home. Quote, we appreciate and respect all peaceful protests, but now is the time for people to go home. So says de Blasio at a press conference at 11:30 p.m. at the New York City Emergency Management Headquarters in downtown Brooklyn. He says, if you went out peacefully to make a point about the need for change, you've been heard and change is coming in the city. I have no doubt about that. It's time to go home so we can all move forward. But the problem with that is that these people don't care about peaceful change. As I said earlier, these people don't care about peaceful change. That's not what they're for. They're here to disrupt and destroy, to make the nation ungovernable. Sunday, the mayor declared that anarchist agitators with an explicit agenda of violence have co-opted police brutality protests for destruction. Quote, it's a small number of people. It's well organized, even though many of the people are associated with the anarchist movement. He said so at a City Hall press briefing of the outside of opportunists he blamed for the now nationwide demonstrations descending into chaos. He goes on to say some come from outside of the city. Some are from inside the city. Some are from the neighborhoods where the protests take place. Some are not. And he didn't detail where the interlopers were actually from. His daughter, who graduated from Santa Clara University in 2016 with plans to pursue a career in social work, was given a desk appearance ticket. City Hall didn't immediately comment on her arrest. Social work. So she's a social justice advocate. She's going into social work. I encourage you to do a little homework on Bill de Blasio, the mayor of the Big Apple. I think you should do a little homework. Look him up. Find out where he was in his younger days. Find out who he's supported politically all of his adult life. Find out what causes he has fought for. And you may come away asking yourself, how the heck did this man become the mayor of America's biggest city? How did that happen? Because his ideology, his passion, his emotion is not American. He is a leftist, a hardcore leftist. A lot of people are quoting Dr. Martin Luther King. I had a friend do it to me the other day on Facebook, and I shut him down. I told him, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about this on Facebook. If you want to talk with me privately, I'll be happy, glad to talk with you privately, but I'm not going to do this here. I didn't hear from him after that. Because in the public forum, not in person, some people will slap others around and put them in their place in public. It's kind of like when you get in a fight with your girlfriend and she stomps and screams and says horrible things about your mother in front of people. Not privately, not working things out, but making a scene. That's the kind of thing that happens with liberals on social media. Remember, social media, Twitter, I can include Facebook too, to some degree, to much degree, I should say. It is that they are the restaurants that angry girlfriends explode in. A lot of people are quoting Dr. Martin Luther King, justifying the rioting in America. And this was quoted back to me in that particular exchange. The words are, a riot is the language of the unheard. You've probably seen that many times over the weekend. The statement was indeed made by Dr. King. Those are his words. But as is usually the case in such matters, his words are pulled from context. The true context is a condemnation of violence. Dr. King would stand firmly against what is happening now in our cities. Firmly. Here's the complete context of those words. Quote, let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppressed people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That, in a real sense, it is impracticable for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way, and continue to affirm there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is that? What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. It has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Dr. King acknowledges the reason and purpose for riots, but does not condone rioting. He stands against riots and points to better ways. This is consistent with the entirety of his message. So don't be deceived by those who ignorantly use snippets of Dr. King's words to justify their wrongdoing or the wrongdoing of others. What's happening right now in our cities isn't spontaneous. It is organized, it is planned, it is insidious, and it is evil. And Dr. King would have nothing to do with it. Nothing. I think also, if he were with us today, he would point to everything he described in his statement, what is driving people to riot, and confirm that all of those conditions exist because leftist politicians promised his people to make changes and do things, and then did not deliver on those promises. And they made those promises knowing full well they could not deliver on those promises. And knowing that the people they were promising didn't understand why they could not. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. More than 50 Secret Service agents were injured. More than 50 Secret Service agents injured. Fires set by rioters blazed near the White House. And authorities were searching for car bombs late last night as protesters over the death of George Floyd. Please, people, please stop saying that's not these people aren't protesting over the death of George Floyd. They're not. His death is being used as an excuse. They continued to roil the Capitol just 2 days after President Trump had to be taken to a bunker for his safety. A senior official in the direct chain of command for defending Washington, D.C., told Fox News of the injuries to Secret Service agents, some of whom were hurt by rioters throwing bottles and Molotov cocktails in Lafayette Park, just across from the presidential residence. As observed in New York City and elsewhere, groups in D.C. are planting cars filled with incendiary materials for future use. U.S. Marshals and Drug Enforcement Administration agents, DEA agents, were deployed to the streets of D.C. in an extraordinary move to beef up security alongside local police and Homeland Security agents, including the Secret Service, the Justice Department confirmed late yesterday. Fox News learned U.S. Attorney for D.C. Mike Sherwin is heavily involved in that operation. Lights that normally illuminate the exterior of the White House were disabled early Monday morning, in the wee hours of the morning, reportedly so that the Secret Service could use night vision equipment to monitor protesters. Additionally, the entire Washington, D.C. National Guard was being called in to help with the response to protests outside the White House and elsewhere in the nation's capital, according to two Defense Department officials. Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser said Sunday that she had requested 500 D.C. Guardsmen to assist local law enforcement. Later on Sunday, as the protests escalated, Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy ordered the rest of the guardsmen, roughly 1,200 soldiers, to report. As authorities clashed with demonstrators for the third straight night, the parish house connected to the historic St. John's Episcopal Church across the street from the White House was set on fire late Sunday. The parish house contains offices and parlors for gatherings. The basement, which was also torched, is used for child care during church services and had recently undergone renovations. The church says every president, beginning with James Madison until the present, has attended a church service there, giving it the nickname the Church of Presidents. The first services at the church were held in 1816. Before the blaze, church officials said they were thankful that the previous day of protests hadn't significantly damaged the structure. Reverend Rob Fisher, the rector of the church, said in a statement earlier Sunday, several hours before the fire was set, "We're fortunate that the damage to the buildings is limited." Well, not anymore. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations, that's the AFL-CIO to you and me, their building was also set ablaze near the White House. The AFL-CIO is the nation's largest pro-union group. An hour before 11 p.m. Eastern, that's the curfew in D.C., police fired a major barrage of tear gas stun grenades into the crowd of more than 1,000 people, largely clearing Lafayette Park across the street from the White House and scattering protests into the street. Protesters piled up road signs and plastic barriers, and lit a raging fire in the middle of H Street. Some pulled an American flag from a nearby building and threw it into the blaze. Others added branches pulled from trees. A cinder block structure on the north side of the park that had bathrooms and a maintenance office was engulfed in flames. Several miles north, a separate protest broke out in northwest D.C. near the Maryland border. The Metropolitan Police Department says there were break-ins at a Target and a shopping center that houses Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, Men's Store, TJ Maxx, a movie theater, and specialty stores. Police say several individuals have been detained. Separately on Sunday, Twitter suspended the account of Antifa, the left-wing group that Trump branded as a terrorist organization earlier in the day. The suspension came after Antifa urged members to go into white hoods and take what's ours. Twitter and President Trump have sparred in recent days over censorship. But you know, one of the rules they have is that you can't encourage violence. And Antifa is all about encouraging the violence. Go into the white hoods and take what's ours. That's really odd because I didn't know that you worked hard to pay for anything that's in those neighborhoods. I didn't know that you went out to a job every day, that you possibly started your own business and took massive risks, borrowing lots of money and going sleepless nights because your employees had issues. I didn't know that was you. What are you out there doing? Why are you out there protesting, huh? You didn't. Antifa is encouraging criminal activity. And it is proper that the president is designating them as a terrorist, a domestic terrorist organization. All these developments came as it emerged that the Secret Service took President Trump to the White House's underground bunker Friday night when protests outside the complex intensified. That bunker has been, in recent years, reinforced to the degree that it can actually withstand the impact of a commercial airliner. They did that after 9/11. A senior administration official confirmed the information after the New York Times first reported the story. The official said yesterday it wasn't long, but he went. The White House declines to comment. The spokesman there said, his name is Judd Deere, by the way. He said, the White House does not comment on security protocols and decisions. Of course, we know the president did travel to Florida Saturday to view the first manned space launch from the U.S. in nearly a decade. He returned to a White House under virtual siege, with protesters, some violent, gathered just a few hundred yards away through much of the night. The D.C. demonstration Sunday was one of several around the country responding to the death of Floyd. You know, here we go again, and this is an article from Fox News. I just want to say to Fox News, these people, the vast majority of them, are not responding to the death of any person. Get out there amongst them yourselves and don't listen to the words, but watch what they do. Be an observer of behavior. The behavior tells the story, not the rhetoric. Those four officers have been fired in the Floyd case. One's been arrested and charged. We know the story. We know what happened. Most of us, I would say, don't know details. They don't know that Floyd passed a counterfeit 20 at a convenience store. They don't know that Floyd was very drunk at the time. Most people don't know that when the police confronted him sitting in the car with other people, remember that he was sitting in a car with other people, that they had to pull him from the car. He would not voluntarily get from out of the car. A lot of people don't know that he fought them when they placed him under arrest and handcuffed him. He resisted. It took all of them to get him in the handcuffs. Most people don't know that the words, "I can't breathe," were uttered when he was standing up outside the car before they attempted to place him in the car. when he was claiming to be claustrophobic and couldn't sit inside the car, even though he had just come from inside of a vehicle with three other people. Most people don't know details about this story. Most people don't consider the fact, and please understand, I'm not justifying or excusing anything that's happened here. I'm just explaining something to you. Most people don't understand what it is actually like today for a police officer anywhere in a predominantly minority community because of the bad actions of a tiny few. Every police officer is painted as being evil because a tiny few have done terrible things. The uniform is not trusted. And that's because radical leftists are programming people to believe that these people in uniform, these authorities, are corrupt and evil. When in actuality, it's a tiny number of them. Bad apples. And most people don't understand that being in that environment, and please understand, I'm not excusing what happened here. I'm just sort of spelling things out so you understand what it's like to be behind the badge instead of in front of the badge. Most people don't understand that when you're in that situation and you have somebody resisting you, actively fighting you, not doing what you're telling them to do, and you're having to go to extreme measures to subdue this person until you can get more people on the scene to help you, that person you're subduing is not the only thing you're focused on. You're also focused on the people all around you pointing telephones at you, recording every action and word you do, everything. And you're scanning the crowd. That guy's wearing a jacket. What's under it? That guy's reaching into his waistband. What's he getting? That woman's got a stick. What's she doing? This person's moving in way too close. That person is calling friends. What's going on here? There's a lot happening. The Alphabet News networks don't prepare you, don't tell you, they don't give you the complete story. Does that excuse what happened? No, not at all. But it does open eyes a bit to help you understand what's happening in a situation like that. Sadly, what's happening in America today is just as frightening as it is in foreign countries where people are emotionally whipped up and destroying their cities to drive people out so that they can take over their countries. We've had reporters say that they're in the midst of this, and it's just as frightening as Tahrir Square. And that should tell you a lot. We're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with emotional people. And when people get emotional, they say and they do things that are deeply and horrifically damaging. Never forget that. And these people are being used by politicians and radical leftists. But I repeat myself. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for this Monday, the first day of June, 2020. Welcome to June. You know, as I said at the beginning of the program, I had happy things to talk about today. Honestly, don't want to have to talk about this stuff, but it's what's happening. I've got things to do after I get through here that are all positive, happy things. But then I had one thing added to the list, which makes everything else hang underneath the shadow. And that is because of some places I have to go this week, I am going to go get my pistol permit renewed. And I've let it lapse because, honestly, I don't go anywhere to speak of. I'm not all that busy. I'm not passing through any place that's potentially dangerous until today. Because here in the Birmingham, Alabama area, we had riots. We had destruction. We had things torn apart, things burned, people hurt. We had news reporters attacked and robbed. And because my route to where I go and do things from week to week passes right through the metro area, and those avenues, those arteries of traffic are probably places that would end up with people crossing them to block them, I don't feel safe about going into the town anymore or across town. I pass through areas that, as I was telling my wife earlier this morning, that after Obama was elected, those areas I never thought twice about began to be scary for me. And I'm not a guy that gets scared about stuff, really. I don't worry. It drives my wife insane. Don't you worry about anything? No. Why not? It's a waste of time and energy. I just don't see the sense in it. God's got things under control. I listen to him, and I don't have to worry. But bad things happen. Bad things happen to everybody. Study your Bible. Nothing's happened to you but that which is common to man. In other words, that's life. God's still in control. That doesn't change anything. But I don't normally get scared. But when I see people who are being whipped into a frenzy by liars, who are being emotionally manipulated for a reason, and some of them being paid to keep stirring the flame, that makes me more cautious. And no, that's not a contradiction. That's responsibility. So, on top of going to buy some lumber to build a stand to support a washer and dryer, which is one of the happy stories I wanted to tell today, was getting a text from my buddy Mike and asking, hey, do you guys still need a washer and dryer? Because we do. I mean, honestly, the dryer we've been using for decades was literally rusting apart. It's one of those situations where it won't die. You know, you ever have anything you wish would just die so you can replace it? Well, this thing just kept living. It wouldn't die, which was a blessing. But it was getting to the point now where, okay, I got to fix this. I got to replace that. But it won't die. And my buddy Mike literally stumbles across a washer and dryer, a recent, like 5 or 6 years old, washer and dryer, Samsungs, front loaders, automatic, computerized gizmos, everything. $50 for the pair. $50. A guy is closing down a rental house, just wants everything out of it. He was able to get the washer and dryer for $50. And the washer, the front loader, you know how they leak sometimes. Yeah, well, it leaks. But we know why, and we're replacing the seal where it leaks. Another $45. So for $95, brand to us, and compared to what we already have, it's like the difference between the Gemini capsule and the SpaceX. It's just that different. $95. But since they're front loaders, they're so down, they're low to the floor, I'm going to build a little stand to get them up off the floor a bit to make it easier on our backs, leaning in, bending over and the like, because, hey, face it, we're not spring chickens anymore. But that was the happy story. So I'm going to go buy that and paint and other things. But added to the errand list, renewing the pistol permit. Why? Because far-left extremists have decided to take advantage of a terrible thing to disrupt this country and destroy its cities. Attorney General William Barr addressed the nation Saturday about the violent riots that have broken out in several major cities in recent days. He says, "The greatness of our nation comes from our commitment to the rule of law. The outrage of our national community about what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis is real and legitimate. It's real and legitimate. The outrage over that is, I need to break in here and clarify that. It is real and it is legitimate to be outraged about the conditions of the death of George Floyd. It truly is. Accountability for his death must be addressed. It is being addressed through the regular process of our criminal justice system, both at the state and federal level," continues William Barr. "That system is working and moving at exceptional speed. Already initial charges have been filed. That process continues to move forward. Justice will be served. Unfortunately, with the rioting that's occurring in many of our cities around the country, the voices of peaceful protest are being hijacked by violent radical elements. Groups of outside radicals and agitators are exploiting the situation to pursue their own separate and violent agenda. In many places, it appears the violence is planned, organized, and driven by anarchistic and far-left extremists using Antifa-like tactics, many of whom travel from out of state to promote the violence. We must have law and order on our streets and in our communities, and it is the responsibility of the local and state leadership in the first instance to halt this violence. The Department of Justice, including the FBI, Marshals, ATF, and DEA, and all of our 93 U.S. attorneys across the country will support these local efforts and take all action necessary to enforce the law." The federal law. He concluded, "In that regard, it is a federal crime to cross state lines or to use interstate facilities to incite or participate in violent rioting. We will enforce these laws." In other words, if you cross a state line to participate in the destruction of public or private property, you're breaking federal law, and you will be prosecuted when we catch you. We will enforce these laws. Also, using interstate facilities to incite or participate. Really? He also says it's the responsibility of the local and state leadership in the first instance to halt this violence. So, cities, city governments, and state governments should immediately step up, put a foot down, and stop the violence. Don't just declare a curfew. Don't just say, now, you're being naughty children. You must stop the violence. What does that mean? It means calling in the National Guard. It means lines of people in flak vests carrying arms and dealing directly and severely with people who insist on violence. That's what it means. Now, don't be deceived. If and when this does happen, the leftists will scream. They will scream bloody murder. They will say it's un-American. They will say that we live in a dictatorship. Look at the way they're treating people, these poor innocent people. Don't listen to what they say. These people have already lied to you and gotten us where we are right now. They're still lying to you. People like Maxine Waters, people like Hillary Clinton, people like Nancy Pelosi, these people who are trying to distract you and convince you, well, if President Trump wasn't so hateful on Twitter, this wouldn't be happening. Yeah, I know that's ridiculous, but that's what they're saying. They're trying to get people, unthinking, emotional, uninformed people, to believe Orange Man is so bad, the country is in turmoil. It's not Trump. This is leftists trying to make a nation ungovernable. This is leftists trying to destroy a country. The pattern is around the world, disrupting the country, causing chaos, and leftist leaders posing as peaceful people, stepping up and saying, "We have a plan. Let us work this out. Let us bring peace." And the people saying, "Oh dear God, please do. Vote for these people. They'll bring peace. Change our system. Our system is obviously broken. We need your help." And then they vote in an administration or a government that destroys everything. That's all for today. Hopefully for a better tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.